time to open the Radio Thrift Shop with DJ Frederick. Radio Thrift Shop features an ever-changing playlist of folk, jazz, easy listening, indie rock, indie pop, privately released and homemade music from the early 1900s to music being released next week. At the thrift shop, we play 78s, 45s, 33s, compact discs, and cassette tapes in many, many genres. From Marconi to the Space Age, come celebrate the airwaves on the Radio Thrift Shop. Here on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London, online at classicalwscs.org, and the Thrift Shop is heard around the world on the Global Voice at theglobalvoice.info. Coming up later on the Thrift Shop, an oddity archive exploring the world of Pickwick Records, budget record label from the 50s, 60s, and 1970s, where you'll find mountains of them in any thrift shop. But until then, I'm going to play some more bird songs, songs related to birds. I can whistle again.
Children. like so many robins, like so many doves, like so many lovebirds, with so many loves, like the songs of the bobwhite, without any words, when we are inhuman, we're one with words. So tweet with me and widely spread
of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly into the line of a dark black night.
Sky.
We are now losing species. At somewhere between 100
and maybe tens of thousands of times faster on average.
You're listening to conservation biologist Vicky Moretsky of Indiana University. She says endangered species stand to benefit from a rule made by the Obama administration, which requires federal agencies to consult scientists before starting a project that could harm protected wildlife.
If you need to build a bridge across a river, and at that point in the river we know that we have endangered species in the river, you have to say approximately how many individuals you think you may harm.
Proposals for dams and highways would also have to be reviewed by federal scientists, experts at the Fish and Wildlife Service, and NOAA. Moretsky said construction would likely be approved if shown not to jeopardize the existence of any endangered species. She added that ongoing projects would still have to account for harm to endangered animals.
If you go over your estimate, you're supposed to notify the Fish and Wildlife Service and give them the opportunity to say, okay, now we're in trouble and we need to start thinking about what other sorts of things we need to do.
Moretsky emphasized that this policy is not new, just a reinstatement of one that's been in place since the Endangered Species Act passed in 1973, but briefly suspended by the previous administration. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at EarthSky.org.
You're listening to radio news about radio waves. Headlines from the ether. Headlines. This is Tom Rowe with the radio news about radio waves. Federal Communications Commission recently approved the new Citizens Broadband Radio Service, sort of digital version of the CB radios that became a fad in the mid-1970s and are still used by truck drivers today. The CBRS takes over frequencies between 3.5 and 3.7 gigahertz that have traditionally been reserved for military radar and satellite uplinks. Now the FCC will attempt to set up a system that automatically assigns users to open frequencies with a control database mechanism known as the Spectrum Access System. Instead of U.S. military radar taking valuable spectrum to itself, whether it was using it or not, this new system allows much more public access to its own airwaves. Much of the anticipated use of the new system is expected to be from unlicensed wireless, allowing experiments with small-scale mesh networks. Eight groups or companies have petitioned the FCC asking for adjustments to the new system. These include petitions from CTIA, the Wireless Association, Verizon, Motorola Solutions, Nokia Networks, the Satellite Industry Association, the National Association of Broadcasters, and John M. Peha, a professor at Carnegie Mellon University and a former FCC chief technologist. The Communications Law blog outlines each requested change and links to the petitions and reports that the public can comment on any or all of the petitions until October 19, 2015 at fcc.gov. This is Tom Rowe reporting for Wavefarm Radio and WGXC.
When the red, red robin comes bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. But if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I'll listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bobbing along, come in red. Been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers.
Rain may glisten, but still I'll listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When a red, red robin, there comes a bop, bop, bobbin. Oh, when the red, red robin comes bop, bop, bobbin along.
Okay, here on the Radio Thrift Shop, I've been playing songs about birds. That was, of course, Bing Crosby with When the Red, Red Robin Comes Bob, Bob, Bobbin' Along. And before that, we heard the Beatles with The Blackbird, Bonnie Prince Billy, One with the Birds, and the Steve Miller Band, Fly Like an Eagle. Well, coming up next, I have a documentary about Pickwick Records by Ben Minot of the Oddity Archive. If you've ever rummaged around a thrift shop, you have definitely seen Pickwick Records. So here we go. Ben Minot and the Oddity Archive.
Since the 70s, reliably equal profits, Pickwick Productions, formerly K-Smell Records, in tandem with Pure BS Sales, is mildly amused to present Sounds Like the 70s, featuring 21 of your favorite, slightly irregular versions of all your favorite 70s hits, including... Yes, it's The Day We Weren't by Barbara Streisand. Also, Contemplate the Futility of Existence to The Long and Winding Driveway by The Feebles.
But still they lead me back to the long winding...
Yes, these and so many other tedious tunes as Come and Get Your Drugs by Milkbone, Cats in the Ladle by Harry Chafin, He's Sometimes a Woman by Billy Joe, and Mull Over the Virtues of Cannibalism to 50 Ways to Eat Your Brother by Saul Pyman.
50 ways to leave your lover. You just slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, stand. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just listen to me.
And if you order now, we'll still subject you to such unholy abominations as Dark Horse by George Jefferson, Some of These by Arts and Crafts, Inflections of My Wife by Marmaduke, and who could ever forget filing their first restraining order to Phyllis Weaver by Larry Wright. Let's face it, the baby boomers ain't getting no younger, and we don't know how much longer we'll be able to keep farting out these compilations and still turn a profit, so order today!
To order Sounds Like the 70s, rush $29.95 for 14 LP set, $49.95 for 8-track tape, or $79.95 for compact cassette, cash only, to that permanently darkened corner at Colfax and Kenton, beautiful downtown Awara, 90125. Once again, that Sounds Like the 70s, next to that Bail Bonds place in beautiful downtown Awara, 90125. All orders will be shipped in a plain brown wrapper. Please allow 6 to 8 months for delivery.
I write the songs, I write the songs that make the whole world sing. I write the songs of love in special, special.
And welcome to the Oddity Archive, or at least an incredible simulation thereof. Let's cut right to the chase here. Over the years here on Archive, we have had multiple run-ins with a certain record label known as Pickwick.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Haas & Pfeffer Incorporated.
So, you want to visit a haunted house, I think I have one that should suit you. That is, if you dare follow me.
Run, run, run. Run, run, run.
the last few months, I have managed to, rather frighteningly, come into something of a small jackpot of Pickwick albums. So naturally, of course I'm going to make you sit through a whole episode just on Pickwick now, because I'm such a sweetheart. Anyway, this is going to be a little different from most installments of Record Ripoffs, because, you know, normally it's half album review, half montage. Well, there's a bit more of a history lesson to this one, so this time it's going to come a little closer to, but not quite, a little closer to half history lesson, half album review. Let's get started. In 1952, Talking Greeting Card turned Kitty Record guru Seymour Cy Leslie opened the Pickwick Sales Corporation. In 1953, Pickwick's first records were released. These were children's 45s and 78s released under the Cricket imprint. The following year, Capitol bought a presumably controlling interest in Pickwick, and as a result of this, Pickwick more or less became a reissue label for Capitol Records, albeit only of 45s and 78s. In 1957, Pickwick released its first full 33 and a third LPs under its new Design imprint. These albums were almost entirely comprised of hastily recorded collections of public domain material, recordings from famous artists, recorded before they became famous, newly recorded songs from artists well past their creative and commercial prime, and reissues from defunct junk labels, such as Royale. Design Records was also responsible for launching the non-career of the Young Lovers. Remember them?
I'll say goodbye to love. No one ever cared if I should leave or die.
Starting sometime in the 60s, Pickwick began releasing both original and soundalike singles and LPs under their own name, the soundalikes continuing through the end of the 70s. Among these releases were a selection of tunes written and performed by a then-unknown Lou Reed, who also functioned as a session musician on some soundalikes.
You'd better watch out for little side.
In 1970, Capitol Records sold their share of Pickwick back to Pickwick itself, which continued with their usual sound-alike releases, albeit now with new artists in the fold such as Kings Road. Around 1972, Pickwick began licensing and reissuing albums from RCA and Motown Records, albeit usually with new artwork and at least two songs dropped from the original LPs. In 1975, Pickwick got its only taste of pop chart action when it launched its own PIP imprint, most notably featuring the work of the Gary Toms Empire, which came within spitting distance of the top 40 with the song 7654321, Blow Your Whistle. Around the same time as the launch of PIP, Pickwick also began distributing the D-Light Records catalog, D-Light of course being the home of Kool & the Gang. Around 1977, Pickwick ceased their RCA and Motown reissues when they were bought out by Polygram Records, home of artists such as Eric Clapton and the Bee Gees, and now by extension, Kool & the Gang. Strangely enough, it was during this 1977-80 period when Pickwick majorly stepped up their output of sound-alike records. Fast forward to the early 80s, and according to Wikipedia, so take this with a grain of salt, Pickwick issued a small series of 180-gram audiophile vinyl pressings, some from the actual original artists. However, these albums were quickly pulled from print due to complaints over poor sound quality. Around 1984, after years of declining sales, PolyGram shut down Pickwick, in the US at least. Pickwick continued to, usually reissue, PolyGram-owned titles in the UK under their Hallmark imprint well into the 90s. As for the in-house produced American rip-off albums, PolyGram apparently still owns the masters, though I've been unable to confirm that one. This being the archive, we aren't really going to look at any of Pickwick's reissues because there's not really much of a point to it. But having said that, let me rephrase that previous statement. We're not going to listen to their reissues because there's no point. In the name of completeness, I thought I would share with you a Pickwick reissue that I do have, and this is a straight-up reissue of George Carlin's first proper album from 1967, and it's called Takeoffs and Put-Ons. And like most Pickwick reissues, it has new artwork, but unlike a lot of their reissues, as far as I know, this is the complete original album, so I just thought I'd share that. Anyway, as far as their sound-alikes go, you could kind of break their stuff down into three basic categories. The generic compilation album, the not-the-original-soundtrack, and, of course, the as-performed-by-mirror-image or whoever sort of album, you know, whatever collection of slumming studio hacks they got on the payroll that week. But anyway, as far as the generic compilations go, let's take a look at the only one that I've picked up recently. This is from 1976, and it's called 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, of course, after the Paul Simon tune. And this is home to some of the absolute most horrendous, tacky artwork I have ever seen. And, of course, we've got 50 sets of lips here, I think. I'm too lazy to count, but they're all delivering such clever kiss-offs, see what I did there, as Take the Fairy, Jerry, Shake Hands, Stan, and my personal favorite, Make Tracks, Jack. So, this album also marks for us the not-so-long-awaited return of the Young Lovers. But anyway, let's take a listen to some highlights from this one while I let you peruse some of the pearls of wisdom from the artwork.
The problem is all inside your head, she said to me. The answer is easy if you take it logically. I'd like to help you in your struggle to be free. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover. She said it's really not my habit to intrude. Furthermore, I hope my meaning won't be lost on this.
I'm sure you probably noticed, assuming you read the album cover, that a certain Bohemian Rhapsody is attempted here. And believe it or not, they actually attempted the whole 6 minutes of it. But of course, not being one to disappoint my audience, I'll let the music do that. Here's some clips.
Is this the real life? is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality.
Mama just killed a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead. I see a little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango? Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo,
Galileo,
Galileo, Galileo, Galileo, Figaro.
Magnifico!
Oh, I'm just a poor boy.
Mamma mia, mamma mia,
mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub has the devil put aside for me, for me, for me.
I have two albums to discuss here today from Pickwick's most famous studio group, I guess you could say, Mirror Image. And of course, we've discussed them before on Archive, but anyway, let's take a look here. This first one is from 1979 and is called Discopedia Volume 1. And if my research holds true, there are at least three more volumes to this. That bodes well for me, doesn't it? Anyway, when I first saw this one, I had an instant flashback to Disco Noel from a couple years ago. And like that LP, this one also includes a written dance lesson, written disco dance lesson, which, upon looking at it, it just kind of reinforced my belief that disco dancing was only popular because it's stupid easy and it takes apparently no sense of rhythm whatsoever. So, there you go. Anyway, given the often faceless nature of a lot of disco groups back in the 70s, unsurprisingly, the performances on this album are actually pretty good, which holds true to Benny Boy's record ripoff's theorem in that the less distinctive the original artist, the less obnoxious the remake. Of course, the inverse is equally true. So, with this one, I have this mental image on a couple of cuts of some probably very waif-like blonde white girl or something, just trying her darndest to channel Donna Summer or Thelma Houston. Kinda dreading discussing this next album, Sounds Like Barbra Streisand, as performed by Mirror Image, and this one's from 1979 as well, but I'll give the album this much. It really does, musically and vocally, sound quite a bit like Barbra Streisand. Now, that's not so much an endorsement of this album as I think it's an indicator of my apathy towards Barbra Streisand. I mean, in my opinion, she's a decent singer and a decent actress, but she's not particularly great nor distinctive. Again, just my opinion. I don't want Barbra's legion of fans coming after me. But anyway, when I was transferring this one, well, anecdote here, I transferred the first side of this album, and then I just absentmindedly chucked the record back in the sleeve. And of course, I caught my mistake a few minutes later, and I went back and did side two, but I hope that it wasn't too much of a subconscious thing going on there.
I was raised on the good book Jesus.
Hardly talk to me anymore when I come through the door at the end of the day.
I remember when you couldn't wait to love me.
In a previous installment of Record Ripoffs, we discussed one of Pickwick's not the original soundtrack albums, and of course that was the not soundtrack to the 1978 film FM. And if you remember that one, most of the tracks on it were sung by the stereotypical drunk uncle. Alas, he does not appear here. But anyway, here's the first of today's not the original soundtracks, and this is for Saturday Night Fever. I think. I've managed to read this as Sodup Doi Night Favor several times, but anyway. Admittedly, I'm not much of a disco person, but I will say this. I actually really genuinely do have an appreciation for a fair amount of the songs on the original Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, so much so that I actually do have a copy of it. But like most record ripoffs, this of course made me appreciate the original a lot more, but strangely enough, it kind of made me appreciate the not FM soundtrack a lot more too. Anyone that follows me on Facebook or Twitter has probably been looking forward to today's final album, and of course that is the not the original soundtrack to Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, the movie. And this is from 1978, and this was stored somewhere that apparently got flooded and had a bit of a rat infestation issue. So, I've had some pretty gnarly albums in the past, but, I think I can honestly say that this is the first one that I've ever had to get a tetanus shot afterwards. I guess the dire condition of that album is kind of appropriate. I mean, Sgt. Pepper's The Movie was one of the most notorious flops of all time. And, to answer everyone's
burning question here. Yes, the versions on that record down there are based on the ones in the movie, not the Beatles originals. And Ed, one more point of business. Ed, if you could put up that picture I took of the LP itself. There we go. A lot of the 70s was marred by muddy sound, but this one was just flat out marred by mud.
Would you stand up and walk out on me?
That's it for today's archive. Join us next time after Archive HQ gets fumigated and they let me out of quarantine. Yeah, yeah.
All right, from one of those Pickwick-type rip-off albums of the early 1970s, that was the California Poppies with Poppies to Be Picked. Before that, Mr. Dave Pike, who passed away this week, vibraphonist extraordinaire, his rendition of Sunny. I'll be playing more music by Dave Pike in the weeks, months, and years to come. He's one of my favorite musicians of all time. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You have been listening to the Radio Thrift Shop here on WSCS 90.9 FM on the airwaves in New London, New Hampshire, and online at classicalwscs.org. Remember, wherever you are on the planet, take good care of yourself, take good care of your community, and take good care of those you love.